Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 182, part 1, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith. Today is Friday, January 14th, 2011 or 2011. Your choice. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from sunny, snowy, and spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. At Pastor Paul's blog, you can leave a comment, you can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. Better yet, you can call the comment line, 1-877-489-0922, and that local number is 612-208-0916. So call the comment line, leave a comment, or give us a testimony. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. In the month of January, these are the following messages: God Sees, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith, Fair Weather or Storm Faith Part 2, Zealous with His Righteousness or Our Own. Be sure to join us for both parts, Part 1 on Friday, Part 2 on Sunday. Have a great month of January, and God bless you.
Oh, wait, don't turn me on yet. I guess we're done. My message today is entitled, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith. Did you ever hear that song, Stormy Weather? Since me and my love are not together, it's raining all the time. The minute you step out on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is stormy weather. So today, let's minister a faith examiner, and I believe a faith builder, out of Mark 4 and 40. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Isn't it easy to become fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? A lot of times in my ministry, when it gets real stormy and it gets real dark and foreboding, I think to myself, wow, I'm starting to get fearful here. And the question comes to me each and every time. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? But I believe here the disciples considered that they had much faith in Jesus, their Master and their Lord. They had been with him all day prior to this crossing. They had been listening to all of his teachings, believing it then even when they did not understand it. And they even met in a small group later on for a more detailed instruction on what he had taught. He sort of became their private tutor. I do not question that each esteemed himself a firm believer in Jesus Christ, and they really, truly believed that they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. How could they ever tolerate any kind of doubt? But I know in my own personal life, we have none of us any idea how scanty, how puny our faith really is. And we might even argue, who is the greatest? We talk big before the storm comes. When the trial comes, the heap on the very threshing floor becomes so small under the influence of the winnowing fan. When the wind of the Holy Ghost comes and the wind of your ministry comes, you'll find out how much faith, how much seed be left. But anyway, so after a day of a very calm service with Jesus, a storm came on, and they get caught with all of their faith notes. They get caught with all of their underlying scriptures in their word. And that very storm tested their faith and left so little of it that Jesus said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that ye have no faith?" I mean, why don't you put those notes into action? Why don't you put this seminar teachings into action? Now you're in a storm. You're not sitting down there at the Colosseum. You're not sitting in the auditorium. You're not sitting in a Bible study. And now you're in a storm. Why don't you put all of these notes and all of what you've learned into action? Why don't you really be my disciple? Leave it all and follow me. Why don't you bear a cross? Why don't you follow me? Do you love your father and your mother and your children and what more than you love me? Peter, do you love all these fish more than you love me? Are you hearing this? And I want you to listen carefully today and remember this, people. That we have no more faith at any time than we have in the hour of trial. And when you are having trial, there isn't going to be a whole lot of people who want to be around you. It might cost them something. Have you ever noticed that? Now, I'm not bemoaning the fact. I'm merely giving you a fact. That when your faith is tried, the measure that you go on in that trial is the measure of really what faith you have. And a lot of times we find we have very, very little faith. Oh, we hear about it, we read about it, we quote scriptures about it. But when it comes to the storm, the reality of the trial and the tribulation, and all that is before us, and we say, "My God, I can see it coming down the road. Don't you worry about tomorrow." Because today it says in the Bible, has enough evil of its own. But anyway, there was so little faith left that Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that ye have no faith?" I mean, all that which we will not, listen to this, bear to be tested, I believe is mere carnal, what would you say, confidence. If you're not willing to run the test, to run the trial, then it is a carnal confidence. It's your own confidence. And the deeper you get in the Lord, the more the trial is, and the more your carnality is going to show up. And you might even cry out, you preachers that are listening to me right now, and there's a whole lot of things going on in the body of Christ. When you're in your cross situation, when you are mounted upon the cross, bearing a cross, when the lip shoots out and the scorners and the mockers are there, where will your faith be? Will you then cry out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But anyway, can you keep running the race when the track has only a few people left on it? And the grandstand is full of seers. Oh, there are so many seers in the house of God. Sightseers. It's kind of like when you get into a work, and I noticed this when we went through, Guinness Book of Records, come on, write this one down. 3/4 of 1,000,000 pounds of potatoes and only a couple of shovelers. Where is your faith when they bring in these trailer loads and you got this on your mind? Are you hearing it? I believe this, that fair weather faith is no faith. We have faith when everything is going okay, when our job is secure and we have a roof over our head and money is coming in. But then where is that faith when the storm comes? I believe only that is real in Jesus Christ, which can trust in Him when it cannot, let's say, trace Him. And believe in Him when it cannot see Him. Now, when you get into a real trial, you're not going to see Jesus. You're going to have to go by faith. You're going to have to believe that He's in it with you. Well, didn't He yell out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Where are you? Where are you now that I need you? Where are you? I need you so now. Huh? Where are you now that I need you, Jesus? And there'll be no answer. Maybe they'll even shoot out the lip. Told you, told you, told you. Maybe they'll get into all that kind of conversation. And maybe, preacher, people, you'll start to wonder about yourself. Well, now you're in your trial. And here we have these people. And I believe this storm was a special trial to the disciples because it was so very, very severe. I mean, these are fishermen. They had often been in a very stormy lake. But this time, the wind and the waves were very excessive. A lot of times in your lives, when your faith is being tested, and there is no one that can help you, it is you and you alone with Jesus, with waves that are coming on like you've never seen them before, wave after wave, trying to tip your boat over. And there is no one there that can really stop the storm or calm the storm that is on the inside. Because the winds, even then, they were very, very fierce. Even breathing became hard. Do you ever get into such a storm in your inner person that you can't even breathe? How many know that kind of excessive storm within your own soul? Where you can hardly breathe, it's like your air is choked off. It's sort of a mixture between fear and perplexity. And I believe even then, talking about in that nature, the war of nature was on when tribulation is heavier than usual. I believe it is a serious, very serious test of faith. When we appear, let's say, to be tried above the common measure of men, I mean beyond, the weak ones, of course, are full of trembling. And even the strong fall upon their knees and cry, Lord, I believe, but help me, thou me with mine unbelief. I don't have enough belief to go through this thing, Lord. Help me. But look, the storm came on them when they were in the path of duty. Oh my God, why is this thing happening? I mean, Lord, we're doing your work. And there you land, sleeping. Let him sleep, it'll pass. We got our notes here and we got our underlined scriptures and everything. We can just leave him sleep there and the waves are coming and so on like that. But I mean, Lord, others are sitting at Perkins and we're out here in the middle of the storm doing your work. Why, Lord? I mean, call off the storm. Call off the dogs. That's another message. Call off the dogs. I won't get into. But anyway, the master had told them to cross the lake. They weren't on a holiday trip. This was no fishing excursion. They were crossing under their master's orders. And a lot of times, you cross over a trial lake, a lake of trouble, a lake of storms, because the Lord has ordered you to cross. Now, you've been ordered to cross. What are you going to do? Come on, Christian. What are you going to do? You have been ordered to cross. Well, I must go home and say goodbye to some friends, and I must go home and bury someone, and I must go home and you know, my family, and so on like that, and you know all the scriptures. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know them all, but you want to hear them. I'm talking about crossing the lake. A command of God to go by and go over during a trial, during a storm. Are you hearing this? Whew. They were all doing right. Guess what? They were suffering for it. And whenever you obey the Lord, just, mark it down. Expect a trial and a testing to your faith beyond what you ever thought could storm your boat and your inner person of experience. Expect a trial and a testing of your faith. And there are trial faith preachers out there, people out there, listen on the radio or this tape, there are trials out there, listen, that are going to come on you, and there's going to be a testing of your faith if you'll cross the lake that God has got for you and experience during the storm, or will you come up with some kind of excuses? Well, there's questions, aren't there? In every person's mind, is this what we get for obeying you? I mean, we started out late on this trip across the lake, okay? Is this our consequences for doing right, for believing? It sure don't look good to people. People see us. Yes, they do. They see the boat up and down, and they see us over here all bug-eyed, and they see us over here all shaky. Lord, they'll think we're under judgment, you know. And besides that, look at this little boat. And the Lord just keeps right on sleeping in there. Can you imagine? Well, are you hearing this? We've done everything right, Lord. We have prayed. We have praised. We have rebuked the storm. We have tried laughing it off. It'll pass. Oh, well, we're holding on to the boat. We have said, oh, it's just a symptom. Pretend like it isn't there. As we're hanging on to the sails with our teeth and our bodies, you know, floating out to sea. And Lord, it's hard to say it's a symptom in the symptoms ministry type of ministry when the sail is over our head and we're living in a tent here with these bodies bouncing underneath here and all these other sightseer boats laughing at us. And hasn't this often perplexed good men? Why, if you're doing the Lord's work, is all this happening to you? Well, and I hear people say, and I have heard myself say many times early in my ministry, I prospered more before I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. Things went smoothly with me before I met the Lord. Maybe things really do go better with Coke. Who knows? How can this be? Well, this is the question, see. Here I am, endeavoring to do right, trying to walk in integrity, trying to be a good witness. But is this something new? Being a Christian, I mean being a living child of God. Well, have you swim against the stream? Salmon teaches that. They swim against the stream. All obstacles are getting away, though, to the death go back. They are called. Christians, when you're called, you're going to swim against popular opinion, and you're going to swim, and you're going to get in the boat that God has prepared for you in your particular church. Preacher listening to me right now, and there's going to be a storm coming like you've never seen before. Will you trust in the Lord? You're not going to win a crown, no you won't, without a fight. You think you just walk up and, like, you go to Kresge's dime store or something, get one of them cheap kind of crowns? Huh? And you say, I'll take this one over. How much is it? $1.19, that isn't bad. Give me that one. No, I'm going to go for big ones. Give me the $2.29. You don't get a crown without a fight. You won't wear it. Oh, you'll get up there, but you'll be wearing tennis shoes. Have one smoking hair on your head and diapers. That's all you have. You know why? Because we don't want to persevere. And it's so easy for the people to judge someone that's running the race and tisk, tisk, and find something wrong. Preacher, don't be dismayed in this thing. If you're in a boat and you're in a storm, you're going to have all kinds of people on land over there, you know, laying down, howling, laughing, jeering, scoffing, and all this thing. The Bible says they're going to be all over the place. Pay no attention. Go on. Cross that lake of experience. And don't you always get across? You know, how many know in your lives you've had cross the lake experiences over and over and over again? Has God ever let you down? No. But they get rougher, and they get tougher, and it gets wilder out there, and the winds become fiercer, and the waves become higher. I mean, you just get out of one, you're into another. How many hearing this? I mean, right now, I hear Jesus is right here in the boat with us. Here he is. He's right here. And right in your experience, Jesus in your inner person is right with you while a storm is going on. Here he is. Why are you in this dilemma? Why are you in this storm? Why are you having such a hard time crossing over in your life? Lord, you cry out, wake up, help me. I mean, how could the sea be so unruly and so boisterous with Jesus Christ in the boat, in my body? Well, maybe I should have a hyper faith explosion. Maybe I should have one of those explosions. I mean, if I'm not out of communion with Jesus Christ, why am I going through this? And this is what people are saying all over. I get the calls all over from people. And the person told me last week, I've never felt closer to him. I'm still getting my 13 goose bumples on my elbow here, my left elbow. I mean, I'm getting witnesses. What's the deal? What's wrong? What's going on? And I tell him every time, here is the test of your faith. Here is the storm, and here's the crossing over, and here's the inner turmoil and shaking of your very being. Everything that will be shaken will be shaken. Here is the thing you're going to have to go through. And the Bible says, I tell them, the Lord loveth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. But we forget this. We call this negative, and, well, Lord, look at these big strap marks on me, and Lord, people are watching this, and I'm tearful lately, and oh, it seems like you're always scourging me and everything and chastening me, Lord. And we sort of skip over those scriptures. We don't want to get into it. You know why? It is not a crowd pleaser. People are going now for crowd. They have run out of gimmicks. They have run out of gimmicks. They even got video games on the upper floors of their churches. They've run out of gimmicks. It's like I was ministering to this young group from the Coon Rapids Baptist Church just this morning. And I said, what's got to be preached is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people have become so knowledgeable, they hate to leave that knowledge down. But it's knowledge without wisdom. Because this doesn't seem very wise to me to be ministering prosperity over there in Africa. When there's nothing to eat. Or hyper faith or any of these things when people are suffering, okay? When people are perplexed, bothered, and bewildered. Hey, I mean, this is not a collection plate filler messages like this. I mean, people aren't going to listen to this. I even had one time when I ministered several years ago, and it was my own church. One of my own started it. It was a night service that came in, and people came in with a hyper-faith message in my church and caused a division in that church out there. It was ministering right on. It was ministering to drug addicts and prostitutes and boys and girls and all kinds of things. And they had meetings there, and there was a hyper-faith group, and they says, everybody go home and pray that your pastor would have more faith and put it on the icebox and claim him to have this. It took me a lot of faith to stay right where I was at. With that kind of action going on right in my own church. Say amen, somebody. Hey, are you hearing this? That whole action died. Why? It didn't have no life. Say amen. I mean, it is impossible to please God without faith, and faith goes through storm, and faith goes through trials. Are you hearing this back there? Yoo-hoo. I mean, this is not an encouraging message, you people listening on the radio. We think trials are a lack of faith. We think trials come because God is displeased. Oh, God is really angry with you. Oh, your money didn't come in. This didn't happen and that didn't happen. God must be angry. When many times these are tokens of tests of love. Say amen, somebody. God is no respecter of persons, and he is going to take care of your every need, not your every want. Did you ever try to take care of your kids' wants? I seen a mother the other day, and she went in the store, and here was this little kid, and he was just wide-eyed. And he knew his mother, and he knew he was going to be able to intimidate her. So she said, she got down, she says, look, we're going in the store, and you're not going to get one thing. Read my lips. Nothing. Nothing, kid. And the kid still kept looking around, you know. I want some of that. No, you can't have that. And all the way through the store, you could hear this kid screaming, I want some of that. You know what? Just to shut the kid up, I mean, she must have jammed a whole Hershey candy bar down this kid's face. But the I wants, aren't we like that? We want this and we want that. And sometimes I think God just stuffs your mouth full to keep you shut you up. But Lord, I want this and I want, like little kids. You ever seen little kids like that in the store? Then the mother tries to be real sweet, and she's read all these books on how to raise your child and let them just kind of find their own way, you know. I mean, don't intimidate, because then they're exploring, their little minds, they're exploring, the devil's on them, you know what I mean? And they're just exploring out there, yeah, and the guy's candy bars are wrecked and his fruit is in the floor and everything. Sir, he's just exploring. He said, well, that exploitation will cost $9 there. That's mail on that guy. Pray, let him go, he's making me money. Walk behind this kid, add it up, okay? Junior, come on over here. Junior fruit salesman and candy person and so on like that. If I was running a store, that's what I'd do. I'd say, well, now, what kind of raising is it? Well, we just let him find his own way. We let him run out in the street. And when that car just about hits him, he'll learn. When it knocks him up in the air, woo! He'll learn. How stupid. God scourges you and chastens you. How many hearing this? There's a whole nother message for moms, let me tell you. Moms and their monsters. That'd be a good... Do you ever have monsters visit your house? The I want monsters? And that's the same way we can be when we're into this hyper-faith thing. I want. How boring those kids are. They always want something. You just... hate to see him coming. Hate to go. Moms, you hate to go shopping with a kid. I want, I want, I want. See, and this is where the disciples were. They wanted this and they wanted that. Why are you laying there in a boat? Get up! Well, maybe the disciples thought like this. What an untimely storm with all these other boats around us. Lord! Lord, there's a Lutheran church boat over there, and a Baptist church boat over there, the Methodist church boat, the Catholic church boat over there. Lord, we got all the truth. We're supposed to be the leaders in the faith movement. Lord, look at this. Huh? Sometimes the storms come and they're untimely. With all the other boats around. And you know, look at us, Lord. We're looking so anxious right now. And are we always wanting the people to come hear the gospel? They're going to want to come and hear it after seeing us in this miserable condition of need. Hey, Peter, says John, stop yelling for Jesus to wake up. Somebody will hear you. And what will he ever think? Smile. Pretend everything is okay. Pretend everything is fine. Put on a happy face, huh? Do you ever try to put on a happy face when you're hanging on to the boat of tribulation and trial? And the waves are swamping you? There are so many hypocrites and so many phonies that just because they have every scripture on hyper faith, they can't admit that they have a need. Well, they're going to have to admit they have a need. That's it, James. Whistle. Huh? Mark, will you stop screaming for help? They're all watching you. Look natural! Don't ruin your witness.
Now, I ministered right over the radio in all of my ministry in 14 years, every trial storm I'm in. So it's no secret. Everybody knows from 14 years back, every month or year, how many trials I'm in, I minister it. Because see, it's a need. It's not being a hypocrite. It's telling the truth.
But let's be careful, because nobody will become a Christian if they're told it involves a little bit of sacrifice. Wait a month or two.
Wait a month or two. Don't tell them they have to die daily until after a month or two. Maybe they won't even notice that we're already dead. I mean, let's make it attractive. Let's make it attractive, as attractive as possible anyway, and don't rock the boat. I mean, we need to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive. Let's have explosions. Let's make it attractive. Let's spice it up. It's old, you know. Are you hearing this? Oh, isn't this awful, Mark? Look over there. Look at all those rowboats. They're watching. Not very attractive. They came out here to see Jesus. And what is he doing? Sleeping in the boat. They're coming closer. I mean, this teaching is too heavy for them, Lord. They're seeing the boat pitching all over the place. Can't you do something? It's too stormy. It's too realistic. They will probably go home and never come back again. They'll probably go home with their busted oars and never come to hear another message, Lord. And Lord, James, Mark, Peter, look over there. There is Jeffrey Snodgrass in his prosperity clipper. We could use him. Lord, please don't scare him away. We need the funds. Please don't offend him with big waves. Oh, God, we need him so much. And so many churches are depending on four or five people with the Daddy Warbuck spirit. I mean, when those four or five people leave, huh? When those four or five prestigious people leave in their prosperity clipper, and they call out all of the other prosperity clippers and the mediocre hyper-faith clippers that are on payment plans. They're the tugboats, see? They just tug themselves along. And they all leave. What's going to happen then? You can't give them that kind of... And their kids? You better put some video games up in there. Just keep the kids interested. Bring in special music. Pay them anything. Dress the stage up. Flowers. Buy $9 million worth of equipment. I mean, buy everything. Keep these nerds happy. You don't think that's going on? It's going on. It's going on all over the place. I don't want none of it. Say amen, somebody. How many understand what I'm saying here right now? We are so afraid of Mr. Daddy Warbucks leaving. Well, I'll tell you, when he leaves, the boat won't be riding so low in the water. Whew. Say amen, somebody.